we're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored toward service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The Creative Entrepreneur, making and selling physical goods. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, Katie here. It's just you and me today for Proof to Product, and I wanted to publicly talk through a question that I received during our Proof to Product Labs group coaching call. Now, every month inside of Proof to Product Labs, we meet for an hour and I answer questions from our community, whatever it is that they're working on and what they need help with most. And on a recent call, we talked about whether or not people should be investing in an in-person trade show right now. So Jody specifically asked, I'm trying to decide whether or not I should do an in-person wholesale show this summer. I could do my own booth at New York Now, I could exhibit in my rep group booth for less money, or even do a shared booth. I could try Shop Object, which is another trade show, or invest in a big direct mail marketing push. She also mentioned doing the fair virtual show. She says, I want to be at the shows. I miss them, and shows have been really helpful in growing my wholesale business in the past. It's been my best wholesale year ever, yay, without doing any shows, but I question whether or not spending the money is worth it right now. I wonder what attendance will be like as we come out of COVID and whether people will be traveling. I'm not sure where to focus. Okay, friends, where to invest our time and energy as things start to reopen is a very common question that I'm receiving from my clients and community members. But before I talk specifically about these things, I want to flip the conversation around a little bit. And then we can look at individual opportunities and also weigh the pros and cons. But I want to focus on our goals. When we know the results that we're trying to hit or the outcomes that we're trying to achieve, we can build a much more strategic roadmap to get ourselves there, right? When we're just aimlessly making decisions without really having true intentions of where we're trying to go, we don't know whether those decisions are the best decisions for us. So during the call, I pulled Jody into the hot seat and I asked her what her main priorities and goals are on the wholesale side right now so that we could then figure out the best path to get the results that she's looking for. So she reported that her goals were four main things. She wanted to increase her wholesale revenue. She wanted to meet and sign on new wholesale accounts. She wanted to see and write reorders with existing wholesale accounts that she already works with. And she wanted to increase her average order value for wholesale. So she wanted to take that average order amount, the dollar amount, and she wanted to increase that. Knowing what we know about trade show costs, I can tell you that the average trade show exhibitor spends anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 on a trade show. So knowing this, we set a $10,000 budget for this example, and we got to work brainstorming different options for Jody to reach these four goals that she was working for. Now, one quick caveat before I dive into my ideas here. Oftentimes, we feel like there is only one path to meeting our goals. And that's just not true, right? In reality, we have lots of options, but we may need to take a step back and take a wider view of our situation before we can see what those other options might be. Okay, so we know what the goals are. We want more wholesale orders. We want a higher average order value. We want new accounts and we want reorders from existing accounts. We have a budget of $10,000 and we want to figure out the best way to leverage our time, our money, and our effort to maximize the results we're going to get, right? So I did a quick brainstorm on the labs call with Jody, and I came up with four ways that we could meet her goals and stay within her budget. The first is trade shows, like she talked about. So for purposes of this discussion, we're going to lump all trade show options into one bucket. But again, to her point, she could really do a lot of different things. She could have her own booth at a show. She could pay a smaller fee to participate in a shared booth. You know, there's lots of different variations now, but we're going to take a higher level look at this and talk about trade shows in general. The pros of doing a trade show is that she gets to see people face to face. It's a consolidated spot for buyers to congregate. In Jody's case, it's in close proximity to where she lives, so some of the logistics will be easier for her than it would be for someone like me who might be flying across the country to exhibit at this show. She's historically had good return on investment from trade shows, and it's been a platform that's elevated her sales and her list of contacts for her brand. Plus, she misses people, and I think most of us are craving FaceTime with friends and colleagues, and trade shows are a really great way to meet buyers from key accounts or markets that you may have never considered before. So there are a lot of pros. Some questions or even cons on the trade show side include questions about what will attendance look like? Will buyers feel safe traveling to be there? You know, exhibiting at a trade show is a lot of time. It's a lot of effort and hard work, which we cannot discount as we're weighing these options. And results of exhibiting at any trade show are largely unknown. No matter how much we prepare, we can never truly forecast exactly what the ROI on exhibiting at a show will be. Oftentimes, the benefits of being at a show can present themselves through opportunities much further down the road. So a downside is not knowing what type of return on investment you'll actually receive by exhibiting at a show this summer. Now, the second option that we brainstormed was about doing a roadshow. So a roadshow is where you travel to meet with your stores at their location. Some people will do a hyper local roadshow where they go meet with stores in their geographic location. Some people have hit the road and gone all over the place to multiple territories to talk to store owners. Now, the pros of this include being able to see people one-on-one rather than in a trade show or group environment where, you know, maybe their attention is being pulled by different things or their schedule is impacted, so they have to keep moving and can't spend a lot of time with you. This means that you can show them more of your products and possibly write larger orders because you'll be spending more time with them. Being in the same room with them, you know, it leads to different opportunities and helpful conversations about market research and just a lot of unquantifiable opportunities and benefits. The cons of a roadshow are that it's really time intensive and it can be costly. People may not feel comfortable meeting in person right now, and you may not feel comfortable with the risks that are involved in traveling, right? So this may not be a good option for you if either of those are the case for your customers or for you. Also, a roadshow would have you away from your day-to-day life and your day-to-day business for a good chunk of time. So think about the opportunity cost there of while you're away on the road, who's taking care of things back in the business or back at home, and you know, what would you be having to give up to be able to do this roadshow. So this may or may not be a good option for you, but it is another option, right? The third option we discussed was doing a big marketing campaign that included a combination of direct mail to wholesale accounts, email campaign, and social media marketing. In the past, our Paper Camp community has mailed out some really creative boxes that included samples, catalogs, and a handwritten note. We've had people do really creative smaller mailers like postcards or even just pieces that are in a single envelope, so it lowers the postage. But when something physical lands on a desk, it really does make an impact. And there's less distractions for your buyer's attention when they're picking something off their desk or looking at it in the mail compared to what they're doing on email in their inbox there or social media, right? We have a lot of distractions online. So having something in the mail really does set you apart. Now, the pros of a marketing push, it can be done from home, so there's no travel required. You can be super creative and you can be on brand with the direct mail piece that you do. And the marketing campaign overall, you can give it a really strong aesthetic that is fun and fits you. A marketing campaign like this would cost less than traveling to a trade show or doing a road show, so you could really maximize your budget here and you'd likely spend far less than $10,000. The cons of doing a marketing push like this, well, it can be time intensive to create the direct mail piece, to write the copy, and to mail it out. And sure, you can hire out these pieces too, but that would have to be something that you weigh in your budget. It can also be hard to track ROI from this type of marketing push. With email and social media, we have online analytics from Google Analytics or even our email service provider with our open rates and click-throughs. But with the snail mail piece of this campaign, it's harder to track the return on investment. There are some tricks you can use to create, you know, unique URLs that are only on the postcard to see how many people are clicking over to things, but it's not a perfect science and it is a little bit more difficult to track who's not only seeing it, but then taking action and purchasing from you based upon the snail mail campaign. Okay, the fourth area that I brainstormed with Jody was to basically to reach all these goals, right? We want to, again, going back to our goals, we want the wholesale expansion. So the fourth option we talked about was hiring an in-house salesperson. And I talked about this a little bit ago on episode 205 of the podcast. This is more of a long-term plan. And so some benefits of this option include that it's, again, more of a long-term solution than trade shows, road shows, or a one-time marketing push. Those three options of trade shows, road shows, and marketing, those are isolated events and activities, right? It's a one-time thing. But with hiring somebody, it's going to be like a longer term project. So you would choose who to hire. You would decide how to train them. You'd have control over the sales process and systems that they're utilizing. So meaning you can give them templated emails to use for outreach. You can tell them how often you want them following up with accounts that haven't ordered. So for example, if somebody hasn't ordered in 6 months, you could have a templated email that they send to those people. You can provide them with tools to measure the sales success, and you can set some stronger sales goals that they're working towards. So that's going to ensure you're getting the outcome that you want. Hiring an in-house salesperson could enable you to build stronger relationships with your existing wholesale accounts and have a more personalized, thoughtful outreach plan. Flexibility and compensation is something I want to talk about here. You could also have flexibility in terms of how you pay them. So it could be an hourly fee, and then you pay them for all the hours that they're doing outreach, or it could be an hourly fee with a commission or a bonus on top of that. Or it could be commission and bonus only, where it's based upon what they sell. So that's something you're going to have to decide what you want to do. And also it would be a conversation with whomever you hire as well. But there is some flexibility there. Now let's look at the downsides of hiring somebody. It will probably cost you more than $10,000 over the long haul, but ideally they would be bringing in more revenue for the business, which would make their salary worthwhile. So you would have to go into this knowing that like $10,000 will get me started, and how much of a runway can I get with $10,000? But you want to keep in mind that $10,000 is not going to cover like a year's salary for somebody in this position. You'd also have to, and this could be seen as a con for some people, you have to go through that hiring process and training them. I know I mentioned that in the benefits, but what I meant by there in the benefits is that you have controls. But then on the con side, I want to mention some people feel intimidated by the hiring process and training process. So that could be a con for some people. And in order to have maximum success with somebody that's an in-house salesperson, you want to have a sales process in place like we previously talked about. You know, what are you doing to ensure that your customers are being taken care of in all phases of their customer journey? Not just when they're making the sale, but what are you doing to nurture them before they purchase, when they purchase, and then after they purchase? Another consideration here, hiring someone in-house requires your team to be proactive in their outreach. At a trade show, you may meet someone that is in line for lunch or that just happens to be walking by your booth. I can't tell you how many stories I have of our alumni community and even my own personal story of happen chance meetings with people that turned into large orders or really long-term great relationships that benefited my business and theirs. A trade show setting, it can be a little more reactive in terms of meeting these people. You never know who you're going to meet. But if you're doing in-house sales only, you're going to need to be more proactive. And so this requires doing more outreach and less of that happenstance of meeting people. So those are the four different options that I brainstormed with Jody. She is still weighing her options and thinking through her decision, as I know that many of you are. So here's what I want your takeaways from today's episode to be. There are no wrong answers here. You need to decide what your personal goals are for the business, what your constraints are, like budget, for example, and then you need to weigh the pros and cons of each to determine the best option for your business. And also, don't discount the emotional drivers here, such as missing people and wanting to see people in real life. Those are legit feelings. But also, I don't want them to be the sole driver of your decision making. You are running a business, and that means you need to make educated, intentional decisions about how you're utilizing your time, your money, your energy, all of that, and you want that funneled in the right direction so that you're meeting your business goals. I also want to remind you that we always have options in our business. These are just four quick ideas that I brainstormed during our Proof to Product Labs call the other day, but there are certainly more ways to reach these wholesale goals while staying within that $10,000 budget. Creative problem solving is one of our superpowers as an entrepreneur, so don't be afraid to use it. Think creatively, think outside the box, think bigger of how you can leverage the things you have to reach the goals and outcome that you want to achieve. All right, friends, I hope this was helpful for you. If you're interested in learning more about selling wholesale or exhibiting at trade shows, head over to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp and join our PaperCamp waitlist. Since 2011, we've helped thousands of brands start and scale their wholesale programs. Our PaperCamp alumni sell to stores like Target and Anthropologie, Barnes & Noble, Container Store, as well as independent boutiques located all across the world. I would love to do the same for you, so go join that waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp, and thank you for tuning in today. I will be back with a new episode soon.